This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Say Fats Domino, another kind of fat, Chubby Checker. He did all those dance songs. The Twist, I think he did The Twist Part 2. No, The Twist came back. It was, did you know that The Twist was twice on the number one charts in two different periods of time? It actually made a comeback. Anyway, more than you need to know. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February the 11th. Do we call this Super Bowl weekend? I guess we do. And we will talk about the Super Bowl, who's going to win, a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He is an immigration and security expert, consultant, formerly involved with the Immigration and Naturalization Service, basically an INS agent. We're going to talk about all those drop-offs of illegals around the United States by the Biden administration. How do they get away with that? We may also talk about that, speaking about border walls, we'll talk about the border situation with the Ukraine as well, with Neville, so stay tuned. And will Hillary Clinton put on her traveling pantsuit, get back in the presidential race? They are talking about it. They are talking about it. We're going to get some thought on it a little bit later in the show from the proprietor of the Barber Pole, big Hillary Clinton fan, Andrew Sorese. So stay tuned for that as well. And what do those protesting truckers, you know, the ones in Canada and maybe coming to the United States, what do they really want? What's going on? We're going to take a deep dive into that. We're going to take a look. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. We gave you the top 10 coldest states in America a little bit earlier down the road. And now we're going to give you the top 10 warmest states overall in the United States. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by the best barbershop that I have ever found in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. It's located in a very attractive and small plaza, the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580, Main Street, on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, guys, 727-733-3773, 733-3773. All right. So, I don't know. This is such a malaise that we are in. Inflation soared over the past year to its highest rate in 40 years. In 40 years. You were just a young man 40 years ago, Ed. And it's hammering Americans. It's wiping out all the pay raises. And it's probably reinforcing the Fed's decision to raise rates, which would slow borrowing. And when you slow borrowing, you decrease the supply of money that's out there. So that helps lower the inflation rate, right? You've heard the thing about too many dollars chasing too few goods. That causes inflation. Okay. When measured from December to January, inflation was 0.6%. That was the same as the previous month. And more economists, or a lot of economists, I guess, had expected anyway, it was more than economists expected. I'm misreading this thing here. But we've got shortages of supplies. We've got shortages of workers. We got heavy doses of federal aid. We have ultra-low interest rates. That all helps cause inflation and more spending, right? And so that's why inflation is the most that it's been in terms of its speed of going up. Wages are rising at the fastest pace in at least 20 years, but the rate of inflation means that you are spending about $127 more per month. If you spent for exactly the same goods, okay, you're spending $127 more right now than you did a year ago, buying the same stuff. So that's why your salary hikes probably are not keeping up with inflation. And all I see is Biden getting out there. First, he said it was going to be temporary. Now, he was asked that question by Lester Holt. Did you see this, Ed? He was asked this question by Lester Holt on NBC. He said, let me find it here.
It's very hard for me to watch any interview with him.
Because, I know, but it was kind
because,
of...
The questions are nothing but cupcake questions anyway, so...
Well, not necessarily in this one. He said, back in July... This is Lester Holt. Back in July, you said inflation was going to be temporary. He said, I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is. And Biden replied to Lester Holt, well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit. And I understand that's your job. He does one of those pulling back his punches, right?
In other words, when he doesn't have an answer.
Yeah, exactly. He says, our experts believe the price increases we've seen are expected to be... Then Lester Holt said, you campaigned and you ran on a return to civility. And I know that you dispute the characterization that you call folks who would oppose those voting bills as being Bull Connor or George Wallace. But you said that there would be sort of in the same camp as those people. Biden said, no, I didn't say that. Look, what I said, go back and read what I said. And tell me if you think I called anyone who voted on the side of the position taken by Bull Connor, that they were Bull Connor. And that is an interesting reading of English. Yeah, I assume you got it in the journals because you like to write. He does. He starts going off on people. That was my point in bringing that up. He's very thin-skinned.
He should have just taken the usual road and just blamed Trump for it.
Well, he's blaming meat packers and he's blaming a lot of other things on the inflation other than, all of the things that the government has done. You know, the $1 trillion spending packages, mm-hmm. and sending all that money out. When you start sending more dollars out like that and you're printing them and they're not being backed by anything, that's inflation. It's just, that's what it is. And the Democrats, they don't mind spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. It means nothing to them.
Well, it's like a credit card. I mean, you can use it and use it and use it because it doesn't look like a whole lot of money. Until you got to start paying it back.
Yeah, except they don't think they're going to have to pay it back.
No, they don't.
And remember, it's easy to spend other people's money. It's easy to do it because you're not going to be around in 20 years to worry about when the Piper comes due or when the whole thing crashes or whatever else occurs. So you spend it now and worry about it. Let them worry about it later. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, our old buddy Neville Kramer is going to join us. We're going to talk about all these drop-offs of illegal immigrants around America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a sunny, sunny Friday in Tampa Bay. A little cool, but that's okay. We enjoy it. Hey, we got some, updated news. The White House says that President Biden is going to hold a call with world leaders at 11 a.m. That's Eastern Time. This morning, it's about 45 minutes from now, to discuss the Russian-Ukraine situation, the buildup of the military forces and the whole bit. I wonder if that's really going to help anything. Maybe so. I'm glad he's talking with them. Let's give him some credit there. You know, we got a lot going on right now. Anyway. We've got a guy that he's the perfect guy to talk with about this kind of thing. Neville Kramer, he's an immigration enforcement expert, consultant. He's been involved with the INS and the southern border. He knows a lot about that. Neville, welcome back.
Hi, Paul. Good morning, Ed.
Yes, indeed. Our old buddy. And because we got this kind of, crisis at the Ukraine border, if we might, Neville, I want to get a quick thought from you. The Olympics are going on. I've been saying that I don't think that President Putin of Russia, is planning on doing anything while the Olympics are going on. He doesn't want to make China look bad and, in fact, make Russia look even worse if he would do it while all these athletes are performing. Do you have any thought on that at all as to the timing and whether or not you even think he's going to cross the border?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's based on the Olympics. And the problem is that China may be hand-in-hand with this whole thing. So his actions in Ukraine may be tied to whether China decides to make a move on Taiwan. If they do it together, they would go at the same time. What's going to be the U.S. response?
Wow, that would be Machiavellian, having both of them do it at the same time. I never thought of that.
Yeah, well, pretty close. I'm pretty sure that they're talking to each other about what to do in each one of the situations. I hate to say this, but this is a European issue when it comes to Ukraine, and the United States should be very careful about what we stick our nose into over there. Although the last two times in World War One, World War Two, we didn't stick our nose into it soon enough, and it turned into world wars. But I think Biden's probably going to go in. He's going to do it. And for a guy, I didn't think this up, but somebody said it was a lot like a boa constrictor. He's just going to surround the place and squeeze it until he can probably attack along the sea, which is their weakest link. And then probably just try to get a transition from a pro-Soviet government to from the one that they currently have. That's what he wants, and he'll have a puppet in the Ukraine to Putin.
Now that's very interesting.
Not even have to invade.
Yeah, a lot of Ukraine's, and of course the Crimea section that he already owns under the when he went in there during the Obama administration. He still got that area, right? That's part of Russia, basically. That's more Russian than it is European or Ukrainian. But the part he wants to take over, the rest of it, seems to be really, in terms of the people there, more anti-Russian. So there's going to be some bloodshed if he tries to do this. I think. And I wonder if he's measuring whether or not it's worth all of that. You know that Biden wants to pull the plug on the flow of oil in the Nord Stream 2 pipeline between Russia and Germany. That also could be, you know, a disincentive for Putin to want to do this, if indeed he believes that they can stop the flow of the oil and that Germany will go along with it. So it's getting a little complicated, don't you think?
Political speak between Biden and the German chancellor the other day, you find that Biden thinks that they're going to be able to put a stop on that pipeline. And he's saying that if the Russians go into Ukraine, that the Germans are going to stop it. That's not what the chancellor said.
Yeah,
he stepped around it.
And, he did,
and he basically said, "We don't know what we're going to do, but don't say that, Biden."
Yeah, I think he's in a vulnerable position if he were to say, "Yeah, I'm going to go along with that." You know, well, Putin might start may never send him the oil. But
yeah, right.
But you know that Biden and I would think other countries in NATO would say, look, don't worry about that. We'll get you the oil. We'll figure out a way to get you the oil. But you got to join us in the NATO group. You got to be strong with us. We've got to have a unified front. I know Biden, to me, is the wrong guy to do all of this. But he's meeting with them right now on the phone. At least they're talking. I'm going to give him some credit for that. Let's get over to the main topic that we wanted you to speak about, if we might, Neville, and that is the drop-off of illegal immigrants from the southern border. They get on planes, or they get in buses, I don't know what else, and they're shipped around to different parts of the country at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer and dropped off, sometimes in the middle of the night. I want to get your thought on that.
Well, let me preface this by saying that I don't think the president knows or understands really what's going on in the country. We don't really know what his mental state is. And what I'd like to know first before I answer your question is who's running the White House.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's the president.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the problem with these groups that are being transported all over the United States, this is a way to get the state governments in California, Texas, especially, and Arizona, to not worry about the immigrant flow coming across, because if they continue to be impacted, these governors are going crazy. And I'll tell you about the one in Arizona in just a second.
Sure.
What they're doing is they're taking these people. We don't know who they are. They're being given over to these NGOs, and these people are given the money and the aircraft to transport these people to New York and to Michigan and to Florida and all over the place. And they're dropping them off at 100, 150 at a time. They take them into these enclosed buildings. They process them. They give them money cards, I believe. They may even fingerprint them. I'm not sure if that's done at the border or whether it's done in these offices. But they're giving them some kind of paperwork that says that here you are, you're in the United States, and you have to report to ICE in the next 30 to 60 days. And they don't report for the most part. I think 60% of them are reporting, 40% aren't. But it doesn't matter, because these people have no documents that allow them to work. They don't have any status in the country, so they shouldn't be getting welfare benefits. And we really don't have any idea who they are. And that's this is in the millions now. So we're going to find that, we don't know what to do with these people. And if anybody thinks that this is going to stop, they're wrong. It's spreading drastically along the southwest border.
What is the rationale?
I want to
go ahead. Go ahead.
Add one thing. I want to
sure.
add one thing.
Sure.
Before I go off the air, what this might be, and this might explain a lot of it, is that this influx of people created by Biden and his people might be a diversionary tactic. What they might be trying to do is with China and the cartels, is they're trying to use this human smuggling and human business for the most massive influx of drugs into this country that we have ever seen, with fentanyl from China being the major one. That's what this might be all about. And China is very close to Biden. He always has been. His son has been involved with them for years. And the deal may be you set up a diversion with these people coming across. Whatever happens to them in the United States is fine, but we want a diversion away from Trump and his wall. We want that stopped. And we want the Border Patrol to be emasculated.
Wow.
Both of those have taken place, and the fentanyl is coming in here like nobody.
So what you're saying is China, which has Biden by the short hairs a little bit with what's going on with Hunter Biden and all of that, is saying we want to get this drug stuff in there, make some money and profit on that. We're going to get it through the southern border. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And you think Biden might go along with something like that?
Yes. If Biden is going along with it, it's only because he's being told what to do with the patrol. He's being told what to do with the enforcement activities on the border. And one other statistic is that they're not deporting anybody. You know, 56,000 deportations last year is absolutely, it's nothing.
Yeah, you're right. And maybe this is part of it. I mean, this would really be, I said Machiavellian in the interview a little earlier, this would really be Machiavellian. It would be traitorous. It would be not only impeachable, it would be imprisonable. But I've often wondered, what is to be gained? They allow all of these people to come in, and then they ship them around the country. Who are they? Who is excited about that? Even Democrats don't want to see it. You know what I mean? They don't want it. I don't think minority communities, black communities, are excited about all of this. I don't think they're getting extra votes for most of the Democrats when they do this. So what's the point? Is the point that they think down the road maybe these people will vote Democratic? Well, it's not going to impact them, meaning the Democrats that are allowing this to occur now, because these people are going to be illegal for a long time before they become legal. I just don't understand, other than maybe you're right, maybe this is some sort of a real subversive plot.
Well, we've also shown over history, though, Paul, that we have a soft underbelly. And when it comes to these millions of people running around the country with no status and they can't get jobs, and there's women and children and babies and all the rest of it, that the country has a soft spot. Eventually, Congress is going to say, okay, and they'll throw up their hands and give away another 10 or 15 or 20 million person amnesty, and everything will be taken care of for the next 10 or 15 years. It'll be off the plate.
So there is a method to the madness. You do think that this complete, whatever the word is, complete abandonment of responsibility of the southern border is intentionally being done to somehow benefit Democrats, basically, right?
I don't know whether this is political or not. This might be financial. This might be this might be political, international politics. This, like I said,
going into the China thing.
You know, China. Mm-hmm. Yeah, China. China right now is looking at the rest of the world as they'd like to take us over.
Yeah.
As strange as that seems, Paul, that could be what's behind it.
I mean, it seems to me that you and I are not the only ones that are going, what in God's name is happening? I think most of the country is saying the same thing. And they're going to wipe out the Democrats in November. The Democrats are going to, it's going to be like a cannonball. It's going to, a huge, I wonder if it could move towards the collapse in some ways, the possibility that the Democratic Party collapse.
I think you're correct, unless the Republicans blow it, which they have done.
They've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said they 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the election, something could come out about the Republicans, and all of a sudden they don't lose the House and they don't lose the Senate.
Yeah. They do. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Neville Cramer. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to the southern border. He's got a lot of ideas. He put a book out called Immigration Chaos, a wonderful book, some years back. I think it's still available on Kindle. It probably is more relevant in some ways today, Neville, than it was when you first published it. But Let me ask you something about Joe Biden's cognitive ability. And you referred to the fact that there are people behind him. I think a lot of people absolutely agree with you. Behind him that are telling him what to say and what to do. Is this guy going to last for 3 more years as president?
No, absolutely not. There's no way. And I think that what they're looking at is how bad is Kamala Harris? Because if they get rid of Biden and Kamala Harris walks in, some of the Republicans are saying that could be the best thing that could ever happen to us because she's worse than Biden. And she'll really step on it, and then they'll take the House and the Senate and the White House. But he's not going to last. No, if mentally he can't sit and carry on a conversation. And if you watch some of the stuff that was on the Hunter Biden's laptop, they were even discussing his mental capacity amongst the Biden. So the knowledge that this fellow's not all there is within the White House already, and I think they're making plans for the next move.
I'm thinking that you're right. I'm thinking that I guess it's the 25th Amendment, and but it means that Kamala Harris would be the president, basically. She would step in. She's kind of headstrong. I don't know that she would take to listening to other people, but she looks like a deer in the headlights when it comes to anything too, right?
Yeah, I don't think she's very bright. It's just that simple.
Oh boy.
I won't get mean or nasty.
No, you don't have to be. Everybody's in the back of their mind is worried because we don't have anybody kind of in the chain of command where we see competence and integrity. Together, we just don't see it. Neville, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You are one of the most interesting and educated people when it comes to things about the border. I know we'll be talking Yeah, talking again soon. Thank you so much, my
friend.
Appreciate
it. You bet. Have a great day. And by the way, go Bengals. Huh?
Bengals, all right. Well, now we know where you I was going to ask you that. You're a Cincinnati fan, huh? Is that
an East Coast guy?
Oh, you're just an East Coast guy. It's not like a personal city bias or anything like that.
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. Bye, bye. Neville Kramer. All right. We're going to take our break. Later, we'll ask our sports guru here, Big Ed, his thoughts on who's going to win. But right now, we got other things to talk about, Ed. Let's take our break. When we come back, Hillary Clinton, she may put on her traveling pantsuit and get back in the race. Do you think that our buddy, the Master Barber, would be excited? We'll find out.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
It's Super Bowl week as Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals get set to take on Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams in Super Bowl 56. And the King and the Cop will be live on air with two special shows, Saturday, February 11th, 10 a.m. till noon, and Sunday the 12th, 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, with exclusive interviews from the world of sports, entertainment, and music. Join the King, Jimmy Lavers, and the Cop, Tommy Setter, with host Mike Straka on Tantalk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. This is something, I don't know if it's jumping from the frying pan into the fire, but former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton slated to speak at the New York State Democratic Convention next week. Here is a Democratic party spokesman. She is beloved by the mainstream members of the Democratic Party, and her popularity is likely higher than that of President Biden. It's good for her because it keeps her relevant, and her appearance is likely meant to galvanize the party and the audience. I think that the traveling pantsuit, she's going to pull it out. I think there's a good chance she sees, she strikes. We got the proprietor of the barber pole, a big fan of Hillary, Andrew Cerasi. Would you be excited if she came back and ran again?
Well, Paul, I told you before, I don't think we got to wait for her to come back to run, because you hear how she's the Democrat Party's love child.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if you remember me saying, you notice how Kamala Harris has disappeared? You notice how we're not hearing much about the Supreme Court judge pick, huh?
True. There's a lot going on, though. You agree with that, with the Olympics and with the border crisis, Ukraine.
The Olympics. Nobody cares about.
Yeah, but the Ukraine. Ukraine.
The
records. They care about it.
They sent Kamala Harris to Germany to try and make peace. You know what's going to happen with her over there. But they sent her there purposely to keep her more out of the picture until they nominate her for the Supreme Court judge, I'm telling you.
You still think she might be nominated?
I'm telling you what, Hillary Clinton's got her pantsuit at the dry cleaners right now.
Yeah.
Okay?
She's getting ready.
That's right, and I told you, the Democrats are going to push her in.
Wouldn't that be something?
They're going to put Kamala Harris as the Supreme Court judge, and they're going to bring Hillary Clinton in as the vice president. And then they're going to do the 25th Amendment on Joe Biden.
How can they bring in Hillary as the vice president?
Well, doesn't the president get to pick a vice president?
You mean if they... Oh, I see. If Kamala steps down and then he selects...
Right.
That's a good question. You know, do you remember when Gerald Ford took over for Richard Nixon after he resigned?
I was a little kid. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, he didn't have a vice president. So I don't know that you can do that. That's a good question, whether or not you can do that, because in effect...
The Democrats will do it.
Yeah, they may be able to. I'm not going to say they can't.
Okay.
That's a possible scenario. So, okay, so Biden takes on Hillary, and then what does Biden do? Does he say, hey, I'm not feeling so good, I think I'll resign?
The Democrat Party will say the 25th Amendment, you got to go.
So Hillary will...
They told the judge, you got to retire.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So Hillary's going to serve out Biden's term, and Kamala will be on the Supreme Court.
I think that's a very good possibility.
Okay. Wow. Of such...
Like I say, everything you're seeing now is a distraction to everything.
Yeah.
Everything is quiet. You haven't heard nothing about a Supreme Court judge pick. I'm sorry. I don't care what's going on in Ukraine. That's not as important as what's going on at our southern border.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, with what we're doing with those guys. We were just chatting with Neville Kramer about all the drop-offs all over the country, of course, and that hits home much quicker, and people are much more concerned about that.
And look at how they're still trying to mess with Trump. He's flushing papers down the toilet in the White House.
Now, that's another thing. Do you buy that?
No. You know,
Trump said he didn't do it.
I believe him. Who are you going to flush papers down the toilet? If you can do it, burn them.
Former President Trump yesterday denied that he flushed papers down the toilet. He said another fake story that I flushed papers and documents down a White House toilet.
Well, he probably did flush paper down a toilet.
But not...
toilet paper.
Exactly. But he said this is categorically untrue and simply made up by a reporter in order to get publicity for a mostly fictitious book.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
All the things they accused Trump of doing, what has he ever done? What have they ever proved? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean they throw all the charges at him, but so far they haven't proved that he's done anything wrong.
No.
I mean, they got him in court in New York, you know, on things, but I never hear them going anywhere with it. You know, they want to.
I think he's a cheat and he's done this.
You know what I mean?
I'm surprised they haven't given him the term of the Teflon president, and nothing sticks.
Yeah, exactly. He is, he's doing quite well. He upsets a lot of people, but they can't, you know, they can't seem to grab them and hold on.
Now, you know, Paul, I don't want to change the subject, but I have to here, because remember a while back I was saying when these vaccine mandates in the military and the government workers and the policemen, it was kind of weeding out the people that will follow the politicians and which policemen would leave and this and that because of it. Look at what's going on in Canada today with the policemen they got there. They're looking, they're grabbing gas cans from people, bringing them to the truckers, and arresting an 80-year-old man from blowing his horn. Okay? Canada, the Canadian policemen they got there right now, or what I was saying they're going to do to our police departments, by weeding out the people that listen to them and the people that won't, and that will turn against the people. Look at those Canadian policemen turning against their own people.
So, the issue in Canada and the clogging at the... Here was the thing. I want to see these truckers are the backbone of our country and, you know, Canada the same way. They're the backbone. They get everything distributed. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't eat, you know? We wouldn't have clothes. They deliver everything. Whatever we get comes from a truck, you know? So
what do the politicians deliver to you?
But when they get and they stop the flow of the rest of the country, you know, like at the bridge, the Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, or if they're going to go to the Super Bowl and they're going to stop the flow of traffic, not for the game, but for, you know, for people trying to get back and forth, you know, for important things, I have a pause there. That's the only thing about it. I don't want to see our country brought to a standstill because what the truckers will do is they will alienate people for their own cause, as good as it is. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying, Paul, but there comes a time in life when you've got to sacrifice to get done what has to be done.
Good point. Do you think,
We're not going to sit there and do this with arms and kill each other, right?
Hopefully not, right?
Okay, but
it's peaceful.
You have got to stop what is going on. And the politicians aren't stopping, are they? They keep pushing and pushing and pushing, putting more straws on the camel's back over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we don't push back and we don't fight back, they're going to get everything they want.
It looks like they're going to be having a U.S. truckers convoy at different places. Ed wanted to ask or bring something.
I had a quick answer to the question of the 25th Amendment, and that it does state that if there is a vacancy at the vice president, either by resignation or death, that the current president can nominate a new vice president with the approval of Congress.
Okay. So he can it says nominate, and then Congress
would approve.
Okay.
Yes.
So there you go.
There's a shoo-in.
So they have to have the seats in Congress.
They have to have the seats in Congress
to get it
to
approved.
Do it. Now, they've got a Democratic majority of about 4 or 5 seats only right now in the...
They'll get it. You know the Democrats all stick together, and they all love Hillary. She's the queen mother.
So there is a possibility they could do something like this.
I told you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're planning, Paul.
Well, what about poor Joe? The sight of Joe Biden kicking and screaming as they pull him out of the Oval Office, that's a sad moment.
I don't think Joe signed up for this, to tell you the truth. I think that he thought at this point in his life, he'd be on a porch somewhere sipping iced tea.
He's probably trying
to remember what he had for breakfast. and that would be all of it. So... I don't think he'd fight this.
He wouldn't know.
Really, it's all a dream, Joe. It's all a dream.
Joe, Mr. President, we're taking you out of the White House, but please don't hold it against us. You've got some work to do over here. Anybody ever see the movie Arsenic and Old Lace? Okay. There was a guy that thought he was President Teddy Roosevelt. He lived in this house with these crazy sisters of his, and he would run up and down the stairs going, "Charge!" You know, he thought it was Teddy Roosevelt. So maybe that'll be a Joe Biden situation. What do you think?
They could tell him it was all a dream.
Maybe they could do that as well.
We got to say it's a nightmare, right?
It's a nightmare.
You know, Paul, here's another statistic you might want to... Do you know how everybody says the policemen shoot the blacks, they're shooting the whites, that the policemen are bad? Well, 2021 has been the deadliest for law enforcement. It's up 55% since 2020, Paul.
Yeah, it's very scary and sad.
I mean, they don't have to worry about defunding the police because nobody's going to want to be a cop.
That's true, too. They're trying desperately in major cities to hire people because these cops are leaving. They're leaving. They're not going to take it anymore. Why should I risk my life at this little pay that you give me? And then when I go and I try to do the right thing, you're going to spring this guy out of jail or I'm going to get in trouble.
That's right.
This is, and I think America is behind the police on this one. Almost 90%.
I do too, Paul.
Absolutely right.
But like I say, look at how they push it. This is what I'm telling you. This country's in a mess right now. The last thing we could even care less about is the Ukraine and anything that goes on in Europe. Mm-hmm. Listen, we've supported Europe. We rebuilt Europe. We did everything for Europe. And let me tell you something. Most of Europe would turn their back on this country faster than you could shake a stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, look, everybody has their own self-interest. Every country, right? Germany has its own reason for doing things. Obviously, the countries surrounding the Ukraine, they're worried, but they're worried for their own sake. So you're right. It's a self-interest thing. It really is.
Who cares? Who cares? Well, let's take care of ourselves. Let's take care of what's going on in our country and defend our country. We don't need to worry about anybody else.
Mm-hmm. My friend, you pull no punches. I've always appreciated that about you. And I thank you so very much. Hey, by the way, are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
No. I could care less about either one of them freaking teams.
Do you know who's even playing?
The Bengals and L.A.
Yeah, you're right.
And I got no use for L.A. whatsoever.
Okay.
And the Bengals, if I look at them, he reminds me of Tony the Tiger when I see his mascot. That's
true. He does look a little bit like that. He might be a relative.
Other than that, I think it's going to be the lowest Super Bowl ratings they have.
You think?
Yep.
It'll be very interesting to see. It may be. We'll see. All right, my friend.
No chicken wings either.
And the chicken wings are so damn expensive, if you can even find them.
There you go.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew. We'll talk Monday. All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
You know, when you talk chicken wings are in demand, hard to find. If you go to the grocery store and get regular size drummies, and wings, they're plentiful available.
Yeah.
They're $1.49 a pound. I was just there yesterday and looked.
So the price come down?
No. I'm just saying, if you want the wings that like you get in the sports bars.
Yes.
And the little drummies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Those are in high demand. You can't find those, and if you can, they're $3.50 a pound.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
But if you go to the store and you get Tyson 24 drumsticks.
Oh yes,
in a package.
But those aren't the little chicken
ones.
No,
they're $1.49 a pound.
Yes, correct. But if I went to a Super Bowl party at a sports bar, like down the street here at mm-hmm. Norton's or whatever, and I ordered chicken wings. And I got 10 wings. How much do you think I'd pay the sports bar? I'd pay probably about $11.50 or something.
I told you, I paid more than that. At Wing House, it was $18.99.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was called...
For 10?
Yes. It was called Market Price. Wasn't even on the menu. It said Market Price.
Yeah, no. Whenever you see the word Market Price, back away quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our final break. It'll be a short one. We will come back. I want to talk to you, Ed, about the Super Bowl. And then we'll do our top 10, okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. If you'd like to hear us again, or you don't have the opportunity to hear us when we are on live, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Select the show that you want, and away you go. Ourfreedomworks.com. Before we get to the Super Bowl talk, Ed, I want to mention this this Freedom Convoy that we were talking about, the truckers. Mm-hmm. And what do they really want? Well, several political commentators are praising a female journalist who actually went out and talked to over 100 Canadian truckers protesting and to find out what they really want. And as you can imagine, it's not like every single person says the same thing about what they want. It's like in a riot or mm-hmm. a demonstration. Everybody's got their own personal thing. You know, you ask one person what they really want, it's different than this guy. Okay. So here's some of the things that she found out when she talked to these truckers. One said, look, I'm Jewish. I have a family in mass graves in Europe, and apparently I'm a white supremacist. This is a Canadian truck driver, because Trudeau has branded a lot of them as Klans-type people, white supremacists, and, you know, that kind of thing. These protests, of course, have snarled traffic all over Canada. Ottawa, being the capital, shut down the busiest border crossing in North America on a highway linking Detroit with Windsor, Ontario. A January statement from the Canadian Truckers Alliance, which represents about 4,500 carriers, said that the vaccination was not an issue for most of their employees. So it's about something else, or many things, a sense that things will never get back to normal, a sense that they are being ganged up on by the government in Canada, also by the media, by big tech, by big pharma. So the truckers do see a lot of different things that are going all coming together against them. And they're protesting.
According to Pryor Smith, who does the Canadian news, he said that 90% of Canadians are fully vaccinated. And that's about the same number for the truckers. So it's not about vaccinations.
Right.
It's about other things. And I think if they want to get the sympathy of the American people or the Canadian people, there needs to be a clear-cut demand, or what their demands are. It's not like what we witnessed a couple of summers ago, where buildings were being burned and looting and cars set on fire and stuff like that. This is a peaceful demonstration, but it's going to get nasty.
It could get nasty.
When people can't get food, they can't get gas.
Or when the police go up and try to unclog the street,
it's
the highway.
It's costing, what
bridge,
did he say? It
could get nasty.
It's cost police in Ottawa over $10 million in police costs right now.
Yeah,
in the last 10 days or so. It's costing about $800,000 per day.
It's a mess. All right, my friend, let's get to the Super Bowl. We've got, obviously, 6:30 Sunday. And is it going to be on NBC or what? Do you know which one?
Fox. No, it's not Fox. It's not Fox, it's CBS, I believe.
CBS, Fox, whatever.
Wait a minute. I believe it's CBS. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, people will find it. Cincinnati Bengals, and the Rams are playing in their own stadium, right?
Yes.
So that's what happened with Tampa Bay. They played in their home stadium, and they won. The Rams are favored by 3.5 points. Quickly, who do you think will win the Super Bowl?
I believe the Bengals will do it.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you also rooting for the Bengals?
Yes, I am. I'm more rooting against the Rams than I am rooting for the Bengals.
And why are you
I would like to see the Bengals win, because their owner is such a cheap SOB, and this is something for the fans.
Their owner being the Bengals owner?
Yeah, Mike Brown.
And you would still like to see the Bengals win?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. All right, good. I appreciate that. All right, let's get to the top 10 warmest states in the country. And let's see if Ed knows what's number one. Okay, this is this comes from worldpopulationreview.com. Here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Arizona. Average temperature just below around 60.3 degrees. Now, you remember, there are some cold areas in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know that.
There's also some triple digits.
And there are triple digits in Arizona. Number 9. Would you believe Arkansas?
Really?
Yeah. Arkansas, the average temperature in Arkansas is 60.4 degrees. Humid, a mixture of humid subtropical and humid continental. Number 8. South Carolina.
Wow.
Did you think that?
No.
Average annual temperature 62.4. Number 7. We're kind of taking a swing around the South here, okay? Uh-huh. Alabama is number 7. Now, it's landlocked. Let's see here. Average annual temperature in Alabama is 62.8 degrees. It's flat. So hot. You're not going to have any cold, mountainy areas.
Hot and nasty.
Yeah, very, very hot and nasty in the summer. Number 6. I mean, you might as well just say all of these states around here. Mississippi is number 6. It's the same deal in Mississippi. Number 5. Georgia. Fifth hottest state, 63.5 degrees. Number 4. Now, this one kind of surprised me because it can get very cold here, too. Texas.
Yeah.
Texas is America's fourth hottest state. The average annual temperature is 65.3. You'll get a lot of 100-degree temperatures
Yeah,
there.
But then in North Texas, you can get some really low temperatures and a lot of snow.
There's snow there now around Dallas.
Yeah.
Number 3, Louisiana.
Mm.
We're not surprised at that. The average annual temperature there is 66.4 degrees. Number 2, Hawaii. Hawaii is the second hottest in the U.S. Average annual temperature of 70 degrees even.
I would think with all the sea breeze around the island, that it would keep it a lot lower.
The state has never reached a temperature of 32. In other words, of freezing, ever.
Right.
Never. Never, never, never. All right. 84 in the summer is what they peak at. So they don't get real, real hot either there, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Ed, who do you think is the number one hottest or warmest state in the United States?
I'm going to go west to go to Nevada.
Ah, Nevada. Very good. But you're wrong.
Yeah.
We're living in it. It's Florida.
Yeah, I would have thought that was too easy.
I thought you would have said Florida. Well, I'm very, very chagrined.
Another case for, you've got water pretty much all around us to keep the temperatures down.
Yeah, but we don't have
any
of the mountains where, that's why California's not on here.
I mean, if you want to go by humidity, I think we'd win that hands down. We'd get two trophies.
We would. You're right. And rain. But anyway, the average temperature in Florida, 70.7 degrees. That's pretty warm.
Is that because of global warming or,
I think it's in spite of it. All right. Thanks so much. We will be back on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And remember, freedom works.